We had technical difficulties with the sound on the sermon that I delivered July 21st, 2019. It's called How God Uses Failure in Our Lives. So this will be a less dynamic performance, but I will cover a lot of what was said. So the point of this message is that failure is part of the way God transforms us into the image of Christ. Note that God does not cause us to fail. He uses our failures to expose what is already in us. I want to talk about a man called Peter and show how his failures were used by God. Peter was a brash, impulsive, bold fisherman with gnarled hands who worked hard for a living. He was muscular from hauling in wet nets with fish. He had a tough hide from baking in the sun. Now, Peter's mindset, he was looking for an earthly kingdom with a David-like leader who would kick out the Romans. Everyone believed the Messiah would establish an earthly reign and restore the fortunes of Israel to its former glory. No one had a concept of a spiritual kingdom after death and a resurrection. They did believe in an eventual resurrection of the just, but they didn't understand that this might have nothing to do with an earthly kingdom with a new David-like Messiah who would kick out the Romans. From what they understood, God's blessings were material on this earth. So the idea that Jesus might die before he established this kingdom on earth was unacceptable. Peter was so sure of this that he was not afraid of correcting Jesus' mistaken understanding of his mission. So in Matthew it says, "From that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you.' But Jesus turned to Peter and said, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man.'" The word for rebuke in Greek means to denounce, to express strong disapproval. We're not talking here about a mild disagreement. Peter was so certain of his opinion that he cannot comprehend what Jesus is talking about. Peter's whole worldview, his theology, his expectation is being upended. And for us, it would be like saying that Jesus will never return. There will be no second coming. That can't be right. This is what Peter's thinking. It doesn't make any sense. Peter is so ready for a military revolution with Jesus that as the head of the army, that when the time for a fight comes, he boasts of his commitment that he is ready to die for the cause. And so in Matthew it says, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, 'You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I'm raised up, I will go before you to Galilee.' Peter answered him, 'Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away.' Jesus said to him, 'Truly, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And Peter said, 'Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you.' And all the disciples said the same." Peter dismisses Jesus' statement that he's going to deny him. He said he can't understand that about himself. He would never do that. He doesn't believe he will deny Jesus. He's ready to die for him. So when the time comes and Jesus is surrounded, he takes out his sword and starts to attack. In John it says, "So he asked them again, 'Whom do you seek?' And they said, 'Jesus of Nazareth.' And Jesus answered, 'I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go.' This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, 'Of those whom you gave me, I have not lost one.' Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his ear. That servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, 'Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?'" That's John 18. So what happened? Jesus is captured, put on trial, and Peter's whole world starts coming apart. Not only has Jesus turned out not to be the military leader, he's now going to die. Jesus is just giving up. Peter doesn't know what to do or where to put his faith now. He's struggling, disappointed, confused. Everything he has spent his life on for the last 3 years is now being destroyed. Remember, he said earlier when Jesus asked if he wanted to leave when other disciples walked away, he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? In other words, where else? He said, before, we have left everything and followed you. We walked away from our businesses. We spent 3 years on the road following you. And now you're going to die? What gives? Are we deceived? Now remember, at this time, Peter and the disciples did not know that Jesus was going to rise from the dead. In John, it says, when they went into the empty tomb and saw the linen cloths there, they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. From Peter's point of view, the show is over. Jesus is dead, and he's not coming back. The vision of a new Davidic kingdom can't happen. Rome is not going to get kicked out. Instead of fighting, Jesus has just surrendered, and with his death, the whole 3 years was a waste of time. Peter's expecting an earthly kingdom, and now everything, including Jesus, dead and gone, he's left with a mess. Now, on a side note, the reason Judas betrayed Jesus was possibly the same motivation. He thought by turning Jesus in, he could force Jesus' hand and start the promised revolution against Rome. But he was just using Jesus for his own agenda, and he wasn't really a follower of him. Well, now, with Jesus going to the cross and dying, Peter can't handle it. It's all over, and under the confusion and stress of this explosion of his hopes, Peter's now identified as a follower of Jesus, and he denies Jesus 3 times. Now Peter, sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, you're also there with Jesus, the Galilean. But he denied it before them all, saying, I don't know what you mean. And then he went out to the entrance. Another servant girl saw him and said to the bystanders, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied it with an oath. I swear, I don't know the man. After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, certainly, you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you. Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and swear, I don't know the man. And immediately the rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now when he cursed himself, he said, you know, let my children never all die. May my head go bald. May lightning strike me. I promise I do not know the man. So this is a strong denial of knowing Jesus. It's not just a little bit, who are you talking about, Willis? Now, Simon Peter sees himself as he truly is for the first time, a weak man who in the face of death is a coward. He failed miserably. He was boasted, he was not like the others and he would be a hero, but he came to know himself as he really was. In fact, he lived up to the curse of his own name, for Simon means weak. Something he had tried to live down and fight his entire life. He felt so bad. He must have remembered the words of Jesus about being a disciple. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Peter just denied Jesus. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, which is a method of execution, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? Peter must remember those words and that he is now disqualified not only being a leader of the disciples, but even being a disciple. And he's also looking around at the consequences of following Jesus, and he does not want to go there. It is one thing to fight and die for a cause, but entirely another thing to die without putting up a fight. It's against his nature. He must have felt like the odd man out when Jesus appeared to all of them in the upper room, like he didn't belong. At least not anymore. And he decides he's had enough and he's going back to what he knows. Forget this, I'm going fishing. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. and revealed himself in this way: Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of disciples were together. And Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we will go with you. And they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. You know the story. Jesus appears on the land and tells them to cast their nets in again, and they do, and pull in a great haul of fish. And Peter jumps out of the boat and goes to see Jesus. When they finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Simon, do you love me more than these? Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Notice the name Peter means rock, rock solid, as we would say, but Jesus addresses him by his given name, Simon the Weak. Simon, do you love me more than these? What are these? I used to think it was the other disciples, but I don't think that's true, because he would have said, do you love me more than them? I believe Jesus was asking Peter if he loved his boat and his nets and this lifestyle of fishing more than he loved Jesus. In other words, are you willing to follow me, knowing what the cost might be? Or do you love the safety and predictability of being a fisherman? And Peter answers, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. He said to Peter a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. Then he said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly I say to you that when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This is what he said. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. Now, Peter then looks around at the other guys and said, what about this guy? And Jesus said, what is it to you? Follow me. Now, Peter has failed. God uses failure to teach us that we are not in control of the universe. Failure shows us our weakness and our need for God. In fact, we aren't fit to succeed or lead others until we've had major failures in our own lives. Because through failure comes humility. Through failure comes patience and kindness towards others in their frailty. Peter would not have been fit to be a leader unless he had failed. Knowing his personality, he would have been a harsh judge of anyone who was weak or failed or stumbled. But having failed, he learned he must also extend mercy, patience, and forgiveness to the flock of God. For we all fail in many ways. Like Peter, we must be broken to be fit for the Master's use. Now, this is a pattern in Scripture that all the people that God used have failed. For example, Moses was full of himself as a young man when he slew the Egyptian. In Hebrews, it says he thought he was the one to deliver Israel, and he did it in his own strength. But he ends up running like a coward because he knows that his deed has been found out. But Moses was sent to the wilderness for 40 years. By that time, he was so broken of confidence in himself and his own strength that when God appeared to him in the burning bush, he said, I can't lead anyone. I can't even talk. I stutter so bad. His dream was there. His vision was there. But he failed in his own strength to deliver Israel. And it was only then, after he recognized that he was not able to do it in his own power, that God could use him. It says of Moses that he was the meekest man on earth. The word meek comes from the bit that you put in the horse's mouth, and it makes it easy to guide them. Moses was broken to be a man that God could lead and use. There are many other examples in the Bible. Abraham, who went for years without a son, tried with Ishmael. Finally, when God appears to him, he says, oh God, let Ishmael live in thy sight. He's given up on this dream and hope of a son by Sarah. But at that point is when God steps in and does the miraculous. The same with Joseph, who's put in prison for 17 years. And David, who hides out in a cave and hides in the midst of his enemies because he's persecuted by Saul. We only come to our destiny when we're forced to recognize our weakness. And God shows us our weaknesses when we fail. It teaches us to rely entirely upon Him and to show no confidence in ourselves. Amen.